You have your Bibles this evening, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. For our second message this evening, we're going to be looking at a thought on giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Christmas is upon us, and the Friday after Thanksgiving is known as the busiest shopping day of the year. It's known as Black Friday. Maybe you don't know why it was named Black Friday. Many years ago, the commercial marketing people came up with that idea of Black Friday. The reason they called it Black Friday is because a lot of retail shops, that was the day that they went from red to black. Now it's a little tidbit. So now you know why it was named Black Friday. But there's some science behind some of the things, and I thought I'd share this to you. There is a British psychologist named David Lewis, and he did a report in the Oregonian, and he found proof, and I thought this was helpful to the men, that he found proof that shopping is hazardous to men's health. And this is what he found. He tested men from ages 22 to 79, and he sent them out Christmas shopping. And he recorded their blood pressure rates. This is what he said. When he recorded, he sent them out and 22 to 79 and had things, devices on them that could record their blood pressure rates. And he said, this is what was amazing. You would expect this blood pressure rate to be in a fighter pilot going into combat. And he said he did the same test to women, and actually he thought that their blood pressure weight went down, all right, showing that there's a significant amount of stress to men going shopping. And I thought I'd reveal that to you. And that's why there was another story just a few years ago. There was two guys, and it was a few days before Christmas. They were down in Florida, and they decided to go sailing in their sailboat while their wives went Christmas shopping. So while the men were out sailing, a horrible, horrible storm came up. They had all kinds of difficulty keeping their boat under control as they maneuvered their way back to land. And then as they were heading back to land, they launched the boat onto a sandbar. All right. So here they are. They had to jump overboard. They had to push with all their might. They're in deep water. They're swimming around. They're trying to get their boat off the sandbar. It's about flipping over. And then they're soaking wet, knee deep in mud. And one of the guys looked at his buddy and said, you know what? This sure beats Christmas shopping. All right. And I thought that that also was very true. And I thought I'd share that with you as we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In verse 9. And this will introduce our subject this evening. We spoke on it a little bit this morning. This evening we're going to give a little more as far as principally based for ourselves. But in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." This morning we spoke and we introduced the idea of Christmas giving instead of Christmas getting. And one of the principles that comes out of Christmas is giving. And as we mentioned this morning, it's not necessarily giving to each other. I think sometimes that's what we get as far as the idea of Christmas. It's all about us still. Even though we're giving to somebody else, it's still about us and it's not about Christ. That's what we have to be careful of as Christians. The world has basically materialized everything as far as in America. And basically we live in such a materialistic society, and it's a covetous society. And so it really comes down to, well, what am I going to get this Christmas? And maybe it's not that that you're thinking. You're saying, well, what am I going to give away to everybody else and maybe garner some favor with your boss or garner some favor with somebody else? It's not necessarily that you're thinking about Christ. It's just giving to others, which is okay. But really, Christmas is about giving, yes, but it's about the concept that Christ gave to us. And because of that, I want to give. And I want to, first of all, give back to Christ. I'm going to give to God. That's what I want to do. And so I want to think about this idea of giving. I read a story and then I looked it up and I found it. Sometimes you read a story and you're wondering, is that really true? And I found it because about 15 years ago, the Associated Press put out this story from Portland, Maine. They wrote it about 3 years afterwards. But there was a church service near Portland, Maine. It was a Lutheran church in New Sweden, Maine. And they got done with the church service. It was the first Sunday after Easter. And since it was the first Sunday after Easter, I guess they had announced this. The people in the church, there was just about 50 of them that had come together. They headed to the fellowship hall where they were going to have a fellowship hour and have some coffee. Pretty soon, some of the people complained that the coffee was bitter. But people at the church weren't really taken aback because everybody kind of complained at the church. And it was just some complaining about the coffee, so they didn't think much about it. Until some people became violently ill. By the end of the day, 16 people of the 50 that attended were hospitalized. And by the next morning, one of them was dead. Police discovered that there was arsenic that was put into the coffee. And you'd say, well, why was that? The next shock for the community here in New Sweden was that it was one of the members of the church. It was a 50-year-old man named Danny Bodson. He was a potato farmer. And just a few days later, they found this man, Danny Bodson, at 53 years old. They found him dead with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And he left a note implicating himself in the poisoning. So then the police were called in because they're saying, what's going on? And then they had this note. The story behind it was, and this is what's amazing, some group in the Lutheran church had bought a new communion table. And for years, the church had a communion table that was against the wall, and the blessing of the bread and the wine was done while facing the wall. But the Bodson family had donated a new communion table so that the bread and wine could be done without or while facing the congregation. But traditions die hard. And so they wanted it up against the wall. Danny Bodson got so bitter because of a communion table that their family gave to the church. And it just brooded in him, where eventually he put arsenic into coffee. And in his letter, he didn't want to kill people. He just wanted them to feel bad like he did. And I tell that story because here he was giving. But what was his reason? Doesn't seem very biblical. He's giving to a church. But why was he giving? It doesn't seem like a really godly motive here. Because basically why you were giving is to be recognized or to get some favor, to do something. But you weren't giving to God. And it made you so mad that eventually he didn't mean to kill somebody, but it led to that. I'd like us to consider our giving this evening. Are you developing the right habits of giving? Carnal people give haphazardly as their emotions stir them up to fill the need of a crisis. That's why at Christmas time, what do you see all the time or what do you hear all the time? All right, they're putting some ads out there. They're putting all kinds of different things. Hey, we need money. We need money. Why? Because people know that emotions stir people up. And if we don't, just think about, as a church, if we don't stir you up enough, are you going to stop giving? Then you're carnal and you're giving. Carnal people give to big people in order to endear themselves to people of great influence. Carnal people believe that it's more blessed to receive than to give. Carnal people give only if they have plenty of money left in reserve in case of future problems. Carnal people give when they are pressured to donate. Carnal people give as worldly people give to whatever cause seems to be fashionable and popular. Carnal people give under compulsion. Carnal people give out of fleshly motives. Carnal people give to advance their own interests. Carnal people don't give sacrificially. Carnal people do not see spiritual blessings from their gifts. And carnal people give without a thorough, long-term plan. They don't see reaching as far as coming into a church. Carnal people only see the temporal. They only see the immediate. They don't see any needs for eternity. So as we start this evening, your habits of giving, are they carnal or are they spiritual? This evening, I want us to consider some right habits of giving. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we look at a few ideas, I pray that you would lead and guide, you would let the scriptures do its work, and that is speak to hearts. And Lord, we ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you notice what it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So before we get into some habits, the first thing we have to do in order to develop a right habit is we need to consider the giving nature of God. If you start understanding the giving nature of God, it'll transform you, because what does God want us to do? He wants to change us every day more and more into the image of his Son. And if we're going to conform into his image, then the nature of God will come through us. And guess what his nature is? To give. To give. Nowhere in Scripture do you see God represented as a getter. Never. Instead, God is the great giver. Because God is by his nature a giver, it follows that he loves in a special way those who develop the grace of giving. We're there in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. Look back in verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. So what was Paul telling the Corinthian church? Learn that there is another grace, and that's the grace of giving. Develop that. Because, and then just a few verses later, he says, look at what Christ did. If you want to be Christ-like, then you're going to be not a getter, you're going to be a giver. God is not enriched by the gifts of men. It's not, I don't give because God is poor. I don't give because God really, he's having a hard time. He's really struggling. And so God's like, please. And he's sending down all kinds of videos for us. And he's crying, please, will you give to me? That's not our God. That's not our God. He's not enriched by the gifts of men, nor is he threatened with poverty if we're stingy. He's not threatened by it. All right, God is not going to lose his kingdom because you don't give your little even if you give $100,000, what is that to God? What is that to him? You know, God has it all, and we sing it. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. Do you really believe that? He's not overwhelmed by my little gift. He's not. But when I start understanding God's nature, it changes me. A good Christian is never stingy. I can go through scripture over and over and I can show you that a good Christian is never stingy. So our giving is not necessary for God's coffers to be filled. Instead, our giving expresses the nature of God being developed in our lives. So let's learn to develop biblical habits of giving. So let me give you 5 habits and we'll be done this evening. Habit number 1, learn to give God number 1 priority. Habit number 1, learn to give God number 1 priority. We know in the New Testament, and if you want to turn there, I'm just going to give you verses. I have them written out so that we can flow pretty quickly through these. But if you're going to learn to give God number one priority, in the Old Testament, in Exodus 22, listen to this verse. It says, "He that sacrifices unto any god, save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed." What was he telling the Israelites in Exodus 22? You can't give anything to any other god. No other god. That's what he said. And if you do, I'm destroying you. Which kind of means probably he's gonna take you out. He's gonna kill you. That's pretty harsh to the Israelites. There we find it in Exodus. We know in Exodus 20 are the Ten Commandments. And then after that, it's a lot of other explanation about laws and regulations. And one of them, he tells them, "You sacrifice unto any other god, save unto me only, I'm destroying you." Now think about this. Christ Jesus came down, died for our souls. We, no other way can we get to heaven but through Christ. And yet, I believe in America, there's a whole lot of sacrifice that goes to a lot of other gods. As Christians. You say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, that's why I said we have a New Testament verse in Matthew 6. Where it says, "Seek ye first, not second, not third, not fourth, or get in line with a whole bunch of other things." It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Because the habit that I need to develop in my life, if I'm going to have a right type of giving, the habit I need to develop is that God deserves number one. He needs to be my top priority. I give because God wants me to give, and he deserves my best. He deserves my all. And that's why Romans chapter 12, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that what? Ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." What is he telling us? He deserves our best. Not our second best, not our third, not our fourth, not our leftovers. He deserves top priority. And so I ask you, as we are coming through this, as we're coming through Christmas time, and even as we are considering giving to our church, who's number one? Who's number one? You know how we can know that? Let's look at your checkbook. Even at Christmas. Oh yeah, I'm gonna buy this or this or this. For my wife, you know, I mean, I'm older and I'm a little more established. And so, I mean, what's a couple $1,000s? Oh, they're asking for the Christmas offering. I mean, normally, I mean, kind of everybody gives $100. Think about it. You say, oh, well, are you saying that I've got to give, if I buy a couple $1,000 thing for my wife, that I need to give a couple thousand? I'm not saying it. I'm just saying, where's your priorities? And you may not like it, and you may say, "What? You telling me what to give?" I'm not telling you what to give, but you can't tell me that you prayed a lot about it. And you may not like it. You may say, "Wait a minute, that's stepping too far." All I'm telling you is, make God first. He deserves it. You'd be in hell. And you're like, "Oh, you know what? I'll tip God this Christmas. My God deserves more than a tip. He deserves my all. Top priority." And what he says is, when he gets all, everything else will fall in line. So, habit number one, learn to give God top priority. Habit number two, learn to give God's way. Learn to give God's way. So what verse tells me to give God's way? I thought of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. Where it says, "We love him because he first loved us." So what is giving God's way? It's not reciprocal. Oh, all of us have done it. You've probably done it with your relatives. I have to sneakily say that I think I've done that before. And so you're like, hey, so brothers and sisters, so what did they, how much did they spend at Walmart? Or how much did they spend at Dollar Tree? All right. Well, I think they got 5 gifts. Okay, $5. All right. So got it there. But, you know, we're all pretty carnal in that way. All right. Somebody gives you this big gift and you're like, oh, yeah. And then they left a sticker on it. They left this and it was from Bailey's. What? Oh, wait a minute. But we kind of give reciprocal, don't we? God never does. He never does. He's not looking. He's not giving and then saying, okay, or waiting to give until you give him something and then measuring it and then going to give back, kind of equal back. No, we love him because he first loved us. And what was his love like? Well, was it a small love? Was it a little bit of love? Oh, man, it's so hard to wrap our minds around his love, isn't it? It's so broad. It's so deep. The height of it and the depth. Remember, the Bible even says that you can't even comprehend it. That's his love. And so my habit should be to learn to give God's way. He makes grace abound. He scatters his gifts. He supplies the seed and the bread. He enlarges the harvest. Who does all this? God does all this, and not because we're worth something. He just gives because he wants to give. He loves to see our lives restored and enriched and renewed. This is where you start the journey of understanding how to give at the foot of the cross. And when you sit at the foot of the cross for a little while, and as you imagine God sending his son and Jesus Christ dying on that cross, as you imagine that, then all of a sudden you start understanding the right type of giving. And that is learning how to give God's way. Habit number one, learn to give God top priority. Habit number two, learn to give God's way. Habit number three, learn to give sacrificially. We find that in our text here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. What does it say in verse 9? Where was the sacrifice? It says that he was rich. Yet for your sakes, he became poor that ye through his poverty might be rich. Go back up and go to the next chapter, chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. What is the Bible telling us? Then it goes into verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God is saying, hey, I can meet your need, but you need to be willing to not so sparingly. So habit number three, habit number one was learn to give God top priority. Habit number two, learn to give God's way. Habit number three, learn to give sacrificially. Learn to give sacrificially. And I don't know how else to say it except you go through scripture and study it a little bit. Look it up and see the sacrifices that people have made through the biblical history. And then I would challenge you to read some men of the past that have sacrificed their lives for us and sacrificed their life for us to have scripture. All through history, Christianity has been made and built on people that were willing to sacrifice, not just do a little bit. And we've come to a stage in America that we're not willing to sacrifice anymore. And some of that means in giving, but it also, some of it means in your time and your efforts and your skills and your talents. All right, think about that for yourself. Right? This will transfer to your children. Right, if it's that you're going to try, and I've mentioned this a couple of times as far as from the pulpit, if you're going to try, you're praying about a ministry, you're praying about what God would have you to do. And once we become part of a church, we should be praying about how am I going to serve in the church? And if I'm praying, but I'm kind of really not praying that much, I'm just trying to figure out the least amount of effort that I can put into a ministry and still be considered a ministry. What kind of Christian are you? I am so glad my Savior wasn't like you. And so then it's always like, oh, they're asking this and they're asking this. As a parent, you don't think that's going to transfer to your children? You can't push yourself at all. Right? And that means even as a staff here, that means as folks here, as members, if we say, oh man, I gotta get up in the morning and get to work. Come on. You want a job that you do nothing? You want a job that there is no effort? And you want a ministry that doesn't require anything of you? Man, I'm glad my Savior wasn't like that. Because it says that he gave up everything and he became poor. And you know why? For you. But we look at it and we whine and we complain like a bunch of people, a bunch of children of Israel in the wilderness. And we murmur and complain. And we're just lucky God doesn't send a bunch of vipers amongst us. Just devour us at every turn. So I think he gets tired of our mumbling and grumbling. Habit number three, learn to give sacrificially. Habit number four, we find this, I believe, here in our passage here in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 8, we started in verse 9. Let's go to verse 1. And in we're going to read down to verse 5 and we'll see our fourth habit. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gifts and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Look at verse 5. And this they did. Not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. And then unto us by the will of God. So what's habit number one? Learn to give God top priority. Number one. Habit number two, learn to give God's way. That's not reciprocal. Habit number three, learn to give sacrificially. Then habit number four, learn to give of yourself first. If, when we're talking about giving, if automatically you just cringe because we're talking about the dollar bills, God doesn't have you. Just so you know. I'm saying biblically, God doesn't have you. When anybody ever talks about giving and it's just like, all right, and you're cringing while someone's preaching, you just, all right, you know what? He doesn't have you. When you give of yourself to God first, and that is not just for full-time service. We do not have time to go all into this. Okay? I could preach probably a series of messages through the Bible on surrender. But surrender is not just for those going into full-time service. Surrender is something that every Christian must do, and I believe they must do it daily. And some of you, you've never surrendered anything, and that's why there's always a fight on your hand for everything. Because you've never bowed before God and said, God, it's all yours. And that starts as young people. All right, that could be a 10-year-old, you're saved. And you know what you'll start seeing as a 10-year-old? Some of your surrender is understanding that God, I'm saved, but mom and dad have the authority in my life. That's a surrender. Then it's coming to school, and as a little kid, it's saying that, God, I understand I'm saved, but mom and dad have authority, but also those teachers are an authority. That's surrender. But then we get into college. And you know, in college, usually you start thinking about life's mate. But I surrender to God in that regard. It's not my choice. Oh, wait a minute. I gave him my life before. Well, included in your life is your life's mate. You surrender to him and say, God, whatever you desire. It could be then during those college years, I come to a place that maybe I don't necessarily feel called to the full-time ministry, but at some point I surrender everything to him somewhere in my teen years, in my college years, and I say, God, whatever you desire for my life, it's yours. And daily I'm doing that. I do that daily. Why? Because daily God may have something else for me to do. He may have something else and say, hey, you know what? I'm done with you here. Now I want you to go this direction. Every day we surrender our will, our emotions, our desires. They're all his. We surrender ourselves first. And that way, then when it comes down to some silly dollars, it's not that hard then. Why? Because he can have everything. He can have it all. If he has my life, what's the dollar bills? So I surrender that to him. Our last habit. Habit number one, learn to give God top priority. Habit number two, learn to give God's way, and that's not reciprocal. Habit number three, learn to give sacrificially. Habit number four, learn to give of yourself first. And habit number five, I believe it's found in Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, it starts, I believe, in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Then it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And then what happens? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then he tells us what to think on. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good report, think on those things. But then he keeps going because guess what? I'm rejoicing in the Lord. I'm thankful and I'm praying like I should. And the peace of God is there. And my mind is thinking on right things. But then he says in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased. And I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And then we go down to verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need. Most of the times we don't put that in context. What's it saying? It's saying that, man, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. And sometimes the devil comes and he wants me to fret. He wants me to worry. But guess what I've learned? I've learned that I can trust him and not be careful for it. I be careful for nothing. I come to God and I pray and I get my mind set right and I'm thinking on the right things. And then, no matter if I have a lot or I have a little bit, what I found is Christ is all. He's all I need. That's the context. It's not that, well, whatever I need, God's going to give me. And we kind of use that and we have it like a little phrase, kind of like the successory phrase. And if we repeat it enough, and I think it, and I believe it, and I dream it, it'll be there. Well, I don't care what. I challenge you to do it tonight, college student. All right, if you're flunking, this is just a little exercise. You know you're flunking. So tonight, let's try it. Say, get an A. Get an A. Get an A. Do it for an hour. Then in the morning, when you get up, do a 30 minutes of that. Get an A. Get an A. You know when you walk into class, you're going to get an F. Why? Because you're a loser. You didn't study. Okay? And I don't care what you do. You can say it all you want. And you can say, well, wait a minute. My God should supply money. My God should supply money. You know what? Get out of here. Right? What it's saying is that sometimes my joy is taken away. How's my joy taken away? Because I can be anxious about things. But I need to go to prayer. I need to get my thoughts correctly in order. Think on the right things. And whether I have a lot or whether I have a little bit, God is enough. So my fifth habit is learn to rest in God's provision. Learn to rest in God's provision. God is all sufficient. And that means if I'm in a cell in Siberia, God is all I need. And some people can't understand that. I sit and read sometimes and I'll read about guys who are tortured or some guy who has gone through some really hard thing. And what flows out of their heart is just amazing to me, the godliness they have. And what they found in Christ, because in Christ they have found that He provides everything. And I ask you then, have you found that to be true? Have you found that you can be content? Read this afternoon. It was called A Hymn of Stewardship. O God of love, who gave us life, what shall we give to Thee? Whose wealth is all the universe, whose time eternity? Take Thou, O Lord, our humble hearts devoted to Thy praise, our very selves in gratitude to serve Thee all our days. Thus we would give our precious time, each dedicated hour, to be an offering blessed of Thee, to make Thy church a power. So then with heart and time and skills, all given in love to Thee, we gladly share our earthly goods to bring all glory to Thee. When we look at what Christ gave to us and we celebrate this Christmas season, are you letting it change your attitude towards giving? Are you all about giving or are you all about getting? Let God change you from a carnal giver to a Christian Christmas giver. We mentioned some of the things as far as carnality. Carnal people only give when they believe someone will return the favor. Carnal people give only for special occasions. There's no consistency. Carnal people give only if they are urged. Carnal people give when they know it will impress. Carnal people give from their hard-earned money, not from God's bountiful supply. Carnal people only give to be seen of people. So what kind of giver are you? Carnal or spiritual? I think I've mentioned this before, but J.L. Kraft was the founder of the Kraft Cheese Corporation. By the time that he was later in years, he was a Christian, J.L. Kraft was. He was giving 25% of his income to Christian causes, which was a lot, because Kraft mac and cheese, we still eat it. And this is what he said towards the end of his life. The only investment I ever made, which has paid consistently increasing dividends, is the money that I have given to the Lord. And I have not given as much as J.L. Kraft. A love given to the Lord. What I have always found is that His dividends don't compare to any that the world can give you. Be a right type of giver and develop the right habits of giving. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I know we have a couple folks to be baptized. If you could slip out at this time. And in just a moment, we'll have a time of invitation. I pray that God was able to use just these simple thoughts, 5 habits of giving. Maybe God was able to use those in your heart. Be able to show you that there's some habits maybe in your life that don't line up scripturally. And maybe they need to just be adjusted. May God help us to be the right type of givers. And it's a great time at Christmas season to be looking at this and saying, God, am I the right type of giver?